Welcome to the GMAT Strategy Podcast. You're here because you believe there's a better way to study for the GMAT, and so do I. I created the GMAT strategy to maximize your results and minimize your efforts so you can get to the fun parts about business school and life as quickly as possible. My name is Isaac Puglia, and I've been teaching GMAT classes and tutoring privately for the GMAT for over 6 years, and I personally have achieved a 99th percentile score on an official GMAT exam and helped hundreds of students get into the business schools of their choice. I'm excited to be a part of your MBA journey since I think the world can benefit from the best possible business leaders that we can find. And if this show is bringing you value, please share it with your friends and family who are studying for the GMAT so that together we can make this process as easy and painless for as many people as we possibly can. Let's go. Let's do a couple more official guide GMAT problems together. These are questions from the 11th edition of the official guide, which is an older edition. If you're interested in explanations of newer editions of the official guide, just head to my website, thegmatstrategy.com, and consider enrolling in my study accelerator class where I go live in the Facebook group every week and generally we'll talk about an official guide problem that's more current. But there's still a lot that we can glean from these particular problems. And just quick aside, I'm a little pressed for time today and was over the weekend as well, so I'm getting this episode out a bit later than I generally do. And I'm gonna aim in the future to have the episodes out a little bit earlier and also to go maybe a touch longer, but I've got two problems here for you that I think will hopefully help take things to the next level for you. So the first one is problem solving number 10. From the 11th edition of the official guide. And as always, I recommend that you do your scratch work on a separate piece of paper, pause the episode after I read the question to you before we go through the explanation. But if you're really just hungry to get right into it, here we go. The problem reads, raffle tickets numbered consecutively from 101 to 350 are placed in a box. What is the probability that a ticket selected at random will have a number with a hundreds digit of 2? So you can see Sal do some scratch work in the video that's linked in the description here. Again, he's writing as he goes. I've talked about this in the last couple episodes. I really don't recommend doing that. I recommend doing a full read through the problem all the way and then going back and taking notes after so that you know what the big picture is. Now, really sort of fundamental level of any probability question, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time with these probability questions where probability is really just like a superficial layer of the question, like this isn't at the core of it really like a difficult probability question in the sense that the probability calculations are the hard part. The actual other calculations, like figuring out what the right numbers and number of numbers is kind of the tough part, which we'll get into in a second. But it's still worth mentioning that with most probability questions, but particularly these where probability is sort of like a superficial layer of the problem, then the best move is to count the two parts of the probability fraction separately. So probability I'll define as the desired outcomes in the numerator of a fraction and then the potential outcomes in the denominator. And I think that you'll find in most probability questions that are superficial like this one, that calculating those independently is the best strategy, and that's what we'll wind up doing here. Now, when probability questions get a little bit more intricate, such as when you're picking multiple items out of a hat, then there are times and places to calculate the desired outcomes and the total outcomes together, not necessarily independently, but there's almost always a way to calculate them independently as well. So when in doubt, do them independently unless you have a tactic or a strategy that gets you to both at the same time. This question, there's a couple core content pieces really at the heart of this problem. So first is you should definitely know your digit places if you don't already. So consider a number like 10,239. 1, 0, 2, 3, and 9, the five different digits in that number, are all to the left of the decimal point. And then to the right is the tenths and the hundredths and the thousandths, which we'll get into in a second. So in the number 10,000, there's one 10,000 in that number. So 1 is in the 10,000s place. 0 is in the thousands place because there are 0 thousands in 10,000, or you could think there are 10 thousands if you wanted to think about it that way. There are 2 hundreds, there are 3 tens, and there are 9 ones. And that final digit is often referred to as the units digit on the GMAT as well. The first number to the right of the decimal point is the tenths, because if you made those numbers into fractions, that's what they would look like. Like 0.2 is 2 tenths, or 2 divided by 10 as a fraction. 0.002 is 2 one-thousandths, because the fraction is 2 out of 1,000. Or 0.02 would be 2 hundredths. So most content sources that you can study from will have those. Many of you will already be familiar with that idea, but without that concept, we cannot really move forward with this question productively. So the question asks us, how many numbers would have a hundreds digit of 2? So essentially, we're looking for all the numbers of 200 anything, 249, 230, 201, 202, that kind of thing. Now, the other super important content piece that if you watch the video, you'll actually see Sal make a mistake with this, which he handles very artfully, but it just goes to show how tricky these traps can be, because he actually falls right into the trap of this relatively low difficulty level problem. However, you'll see a lot of people wind up falling into those types of traps, and it's probably worth noting that although the official guide generally on the quant side progresses from easy to hard, it's not a 100% situation, and sometimes some of the lower number problems are quite difficult, and you'll see Sal really struggle with it in real time if you check out the video. So the boundary counting is what's particularly difficult here, and one of the things that makes it so difficult is that they specifically will create wrong answers for you that if you mess up the boundaries, you're going to want to pick. And that, again, does happen to Sal. You can watch it happen in real time. So let's talk about how to deal with boundaries of sets of numbers on the GMAT. So here we're talking about raffle tickets from 101 to 350. And as strange as it might sound, it might be a challenge to figure out how many tickets are actually in that span. And we would have to calculate that in order to figure out the denominator of our probability, which is the total number of possible outcomes. So let's consider a smaller example. How many integers are between 1 and 3? Well, you actually don't have enough information to answer my question if you're thinking about it deeply, because you might be wondering, are we including the endpoints or not? So it's worth saying that when the GMAT uses the word between, but does not use the word inclusive, that is excluding the endpoints. So technically the answer to my question, how many integers are there between 1 and 3 on the GMAT, the answer to that would be 1, the integer 2, because literally between 1 and 3 means not touching 1 and 3. If you drive between two stop signs on a city street, then hopefully you're not striking either one of those signs. That's kind of the visual analogy that I think of with those numbers. But if it said, how many integers are there between 1 and 3 inclusive, that now means we're including 1 and 3. And the answer to that question would be 3 integers, 1, 2, and 3. That can be kind of tricky, though, because as you might have noticed, simple subtraction does not count one of the endpoints. That's really important. 3 minus 1 is just 2. However, there are 3 integers between 1 and 3 inclusive. Now, that might seem obvious when you're only dealing with a small number of numbers, but when it comes to 101 and 350, that can get confusing, especially under time pressure. So in this particular problem, if you do 350 minus 101, you just get 249, which is not actually the right number of total tickets, because that is just pure simple subtraction, and that excludes one of the endpoints. And we are including 101 and 350 from 101 to 350. We have a ticket with 101 on it, and we have a ticket with 350 on it. So that means we're including the endpoints. They don't use the word inclusive, but the wording of the problem does indicate that we have those tickets in the mix. So you're going to want to memorize, if you're counting how many integers there are between two numbers, and you're including the endpoints, like the problem says inclusive or similar, then you do simple subtraction, and then you add 1 after that simple subtraction. If the problem just says between but not inclusive, then you are not including the endpoints. And depending on the problem, you may have to subtract 1, or you may end up not having to deal with that. And there are plenty of other kind of edge case problem types that I'm sure we'll discuss at some point in the podcast, and I'll have a chance to give you that recommendation there. But for now, it's rare that you're going to have to subtract 1 from an endpoint. I don't think I've ever seen a GMAT question where you really had to do that. I've seen many, many GMAT questions like this particular question, where if you don't add 1 at the end, then you're toast and you're about to get the question wrong. So here what we do is we just count that there are 100 numbers with 2 in the hundreds place. which is 200 to 299. And again, we just do simple subtraction plus one because we have a ticket with 200 and a ticket with 299. And then we count the total tickets and we get 100 numbers with a two in the hundreds digit over 250 possible numbers. And we get the right answer, which is 2/5. But beware of the tricky trap answers there, and you'll see Sal fall into that trap, okay? So hopefully that serves you well going forward. Flashcards for that kind of stuff, study sheets for that kind of stuff, spreadsheets for that kind of stuff, that just kind of content memorization type thing or strategy memorization thing is great. Also, the redo list is fantastic, putting a problem like this aside so that you're cued not just for the strategy itself, but for the type of information that would come up on the GMAT that would make you think, oh, I need to remember that I do simple subtraction and then add one at the end. Having a question like this or this question in your redo list can be really, really helpful for that. And if you want more guidance on the redo list, I believe I talk about that quite a bit in my How to Accelerate Your Studies, which is episode 2 of this podcast, and then How to Organize Your Study Time, which I believe is episode 4. But they're in that range if I'm not hitting those exactly right now. So that's that problem. As always, you can reach out to me if you have questions. I'm at the GMAT Strategy on Instagram, / the GMAT Strategy on Reddit, / the GMAT Strategy on Facebook, and / the GMAT Strategy on YouTube. I'm a little slower to respond on YouTube. You can also reach me on LinkedIn at just my name, Isaac Puglia, which is spelled out in the quote-unquote artist field for this podcast. But I'm also a little bit slow to reply on LinkedIn, so just forgive me if you reach out to me on those platforms and I you don't hear from me for a little bit. I promise I'll do my absolute best to get back to you. Next question. Problem solving number 11 reads, on Monday, a person mailed 8 packages, averaging 12 3/8 pounds. And on Tuesday, mailed 4 packages, weighing an average of 15 1/4 pounds. What was the average weight of all the packages the person mailed on both days? This is a super interesting question. It's really just the average formula, but I see a ton of people struggle with questions like this. So again, this could be a great one to add to your redo list and just get a few reps in on it to make sure that it's an idea that over time becomes a little bit more familiar to you and a little bit easier to operate with. So the other issue here is just transcribing correctly, because perhaps obviously if you transcribe incorrectly, then you're gonna have a huge, huge problem when it comes to finding the right solution path. And that's a really important tip actually that a lot of people don't consider with enough weight, is that transcription is a major, major deal when you're taking a test on a computer screen and then you're doing your scratch work elsewhere, either on a digital whiteboard in the case of the online GMAT or on a separate scratch pad, which is the case for most of us taking the in-person GMAT. And that's why part of the reason I recommend reading the whole problem first and then writing later, because it cuts down on those types of transcription errors, which if you do make, then the rest of the time you spend investing on the question is just a complete waste, essentially. You're just doing a bunch of correct math on the wrong problem or the wrong setup, which is definitely something we'd like to avoid on a test like the GMAT. So the average formula is just take the sum of all the numbers and divide by the total number of things. And you'll see that most GMAT average questions end up being just that or some flavor of that. And I do, in my in-person classes and in the GMAT, not in the GMAT strategy, but in my in-person classes, do give extra tips on this, but you can get by with just, boom, simple average formula. So we do some multiplication to get the actual total pounds on each day. So we do 12 3/8 times 8 packages. Then we add that to 15 1/4 times 4 packages. That gives us the total sum of all the weights of all the packages across both days. And then we divide by the 12 packages that were shipped across both days, and that then we just reduce that fraction, and that gets us our answer. So scrap paper techniques, transcription, being clear with your scratch work, and then just knowing the formula is going to be the key to, I want to say, basically every medium word problem that you're going to see on the GMAT. Sure, the harder stuff, sometimes they throw some twists and turns in there that are unexpected and you need a little bit more, but so much of success on the GMAT is just doing the basics really, really well. And it's like many other disciplines in that respect. So hopefully you got a ton of value out of today's episode, even though I know it's a little bit on the shorter side. As always, my greatest hope is that this information will make your studies as easy and as painless as they can possibly be. If you would like more tips and strategies for optimizing your performance on the GMAT, just head to my website, thegmatstrategy.com, or click the link in the description of this podcast and check out my free video on how to achieve your goal score in half the normal time and with half the normal effort. Now, if you want some more specific guidance, in fact, quite a bit more specific guidance than just what's in that video, then the class I offer at the end of the video is a study acceleration class that plugs into any program of study that you might be engaging with or considering engaging with, and is a series of short videos that you can complete all of in about 3 hours, because I don't go into all the details of facts and figures and formulas that you need to know so that you can choose the books, the digital self-paced class, or the live class of your choice, but still have a major, major advantage when taking advantage of those resources that you wouldn't have without the strategy class or the accelerator class. Same thing. If you would like me personally to teach you every single detail you need to know about the GMAT, including the facts and figures and also the strategies that I detail in the class, then head to testcrackers.org, which is also linked in the description of this podcast, and use the code TGS for a $100 discount on any of the classes that we offer there. In the meantime, this is a weekly show, so please subscribe, and as always, stay positive and stay consistent with your studies. I'll talk to you soon.